You had that wonderful season with Mike Hanlon.
Yeah.
The 1990 season.
The nearly season. It's interesting you say games you remember, because two that I didn't play in. We lost the one at Nottingham.
I was there. I've got the programme here, actually.
If I know then what I know now, we should have picked the United team at Nottingham and they'd have won. Everything conspired. With Brian Moore's last game.
Yes, I remember.
Quittenden was referee.
Yeah.
And they had an inspired game.
They did, yeah.
I was not at all happy with the decisions that Quittenden made. Got on well with him. Didn't think he refed very well. But I would say that, wouldn't I? I thought he got a lot of things wrong, and I think what beat us was the team was knackered, absolutely out on its feet, and we asked for two more games when really the cup final would have been enough.
Yeah.
I think if we'd won at Nottingham, we wouldn't have won at Twickenham, but we wouldn't have done badly.
No.
Rob Andrew saw me just afterwards. Do you know it? They won the league, didn't they, because of us?
Yeah, they did.
He apologised.
Yeah.
He said, Keith, we're all sorry. Strange thing for another player from another team to say. He knew that we'd done it, but it was that final hurdle, that Nottingham game, with Brian Moore hadn't been leaving, I reckon we'd have creamed them and won that. It was just, they were all on a, we've got to produce something for him, and bang, we just hit it. Right at the wrong time.
I mean, all season we've been better than other teams in the back row, but their back row played a blinder in that game.
They had some sort of back row. Their problem, we could never cope with him. They all had IQ of about 3 million. They did.
Yeah.
And they used to think their way through a game at times.
Yeah.
And they were doing things that, you know, hang on, he's offside. He wasn't offside.
Yeah.
They knew the laws. I thought we knew them pretty well, but they were always one step ahead. Their back row was great, but I do think it was the Brian Moore thing that finished us off. And then the cup final, absolute disaster. But I don't think it was John Gadd sending off. I think Bath were on that sort of day,
they're on fire,
that sort of weather. They turned up in lightweight shirts, chinos, we turned up in blazers, and it was about 90 in the shade, and it was a horror story. They were brilliant. There were two ways. They were outstanding.
And do you remember your article in the programme? I think that summed up Gloucester pretty well.
I've got it up there somewhere.
Yeah. A lot of people remember that article.
We were never in it. Never in it. But they could have played on that day. I suspect they could have played any international team and done well. They might not have beaten them, but they wouldn't have been far off on that day. It was just what we didn't want. Nottingham, then that. And after the Nottingham game, I just, I knew the players had gone a step too far and they were out on their feet. Don't think many people understood that.
And you had a hot summer day.
Correct. Just what we didn't want.
Yeah.
You didn't want rain, but just wanted a bit cooler. And Twickenham, they all looked at ease.
Yeah.
Very few of our players looked happy there. You know, when you walk on the pitch, our players looked sort of nervous and we shouldn't be here. I could sense it. That Guscott came out sauntering round, relaxed. Not one of our players look relaxed. We were all wound up tight, and they just got off to a flyer, didn't they?
Yeah.
Not a good day.
Yeah, but a great season.
It was. But the trouble is, it ended with two losses and a player sent off, and they deserve to be known for what happened in all the other games. Because they were outstanding.
Yeah.
They really were.
Thinking of individual players that you coached, Keith, Who stands out for you as sort of players you look back with real satisfaction that, you know, they came on so well under your coaching, or indeed disappointments, players who didn't make it to the level you thought they were capable of?
I always had a lot of time for Mike Hanlon. I think Mike played for England A or England B, whichever it was.
Yeah.
And I always, now he'd probably get 20, 30 caps. That's not the point. I thought that was about his peak. I would never put Mike, and always told him, if you get a cap, well done. But you're good enough for that. And he was shrewd. He knew how to win rugby matches and how the game should be played. I had a great deal of time for Mike Hanlon as a thinker and as a doer, that he could take the game, get hold of it. He wasn't hampered a lot by the fact there was a certain Marcus Hannaford, who was probably one of the strongest people I've ever encountered. Now, you could build a game on Marcus Hannaford, because opposing scrum halves probably wrote their will out before the game. He was so powerful.
Mm. Mike Phillips was a comparison, isn't he?
Yeah.
Today.
He was unbelievable in his day. He was just a different breed of scrum half. So we had that. I remember Hamlin, yeah. Richard Morg, you just got to look at in wonder. There was also interesting one, you see, because English rugby never took to it. Jim Breeze. Don Rutherford came to watch us play one game and he said, if he was New Zealand, he'd be in their team. Because he was loopy. Absolutely mad. And his eyes would come out on pencils and he'd just be looking for things to happen, and you had to be very brave to play against him. And New Zealand have always played a left winger doing that. He will come in, I know Jim tended to play on the right a bit, but they'd play a left winger and he would just play what Jim Breeze did time after time. Mike Teague, always impressed. He didn't play that much, actually. But he always looked, which is a good thing, he always looked better for England. And then he looked better for the Lions. And I think Mike Teague was a big-time player. He was, yeah, there aren't many forwards who are like that. But Mike Teague was one of them. John Gadd, I would always want him. And now he got sent off at Twickenham. But he, to me, had what a number six should have. You are not coming past this. And he had that attitude of, somehow, I'm going to stop you. Yeah. And generally, he did. Mm. Now, that's a very old-fashioned concept, but it ought to be more common in professional rugby. The old blind side, they go for all sorts of runners and handlers and tacklers. You're not coming here. And John Gadd did that.
Mm.
But no, there were many. I mean, to me, Gloucester had a system where you coached a team that wasn't necessarily the 15 best players, but you'd get the best team out of them. I think, what was it? Steve Bale. I think he was on the Independent then, whatever. He always used to say, the sum of the parts. That you might not pick each player for England, but they could beat England together. And that's what Gloucester's always done, isn't it? They've they've drawn together what they have. I'll never forget when we had that session against England. Can you remember that? When they came training before the Cardiff game and they wanted to train against Gloucester. And Teague always tells this story with a smile on his face, because they were driving from their hotel in Cheltenham and a couple of the lads said, where are all those people going? Teague said, well, to the match. He said, what match? He said, you're playing Gloucester, lads. You're playing, and there's about 3,000 there. And all of them got near where we were scrummaging. And it was all out. We won. And we stuffed them. Clearly did. And Jeff Cook said, that is the perfect build-up to playing Wales. when all the crowd at the tump end were on top of the players, screaming. They really were.
Yeah.
Everyone aimed at an England player, cheers for Gloucester players. He said it won't be any worse than this Saturday. And he was dead right. And I remember that to this day, that it was different. No, nobody had ever tried that. But they found out what Gloucester was all about. Some of them didn't like it, but they had to get on with it. I think we need a little bit more of short, sharp, horrid moments for international players, rather than pampering and cosseting and first-class hotels, first-class flights. Put them through the mill a bit.
Well, they didn't do it again, did they?
No. I think it's a one-off. I think you can try that as a coaching weapon, but you won't get away with it regularly. There was the shock factor, and it woke the England team up. They suddenly realised, oh my God, this is serious stuff. And I think it helped them, that they suddenly learned, if it's this bad in Gloucester, what's it going to be like when they really hate us?